can do it as well as that. Our first reading is from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, and Morris is going to kindly come and read it for us.
Heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, and that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning of the first day. This is the word of the Lord.
Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John came, baptizing in the desert region, and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with leather belt round his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize with water, but he will baptize with the Holy Spirit." At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up and out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open by the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, who I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with wild animals, and angels attended him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you, David, and please be seated. I guess we all feel that we could use some good news at the moment. And that's what Mark says he's writing. He begins his whole gospel, which means good news, by saying, "The beginning of the gospel, or the good news, about Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Mark says, "Have I got news for you?" Good news. In fact, the best news in the world ever. Not good news about the rollout of a vaccine or a dropping infection rate, although not in its way ultimately irrelevant to all that. Mark is writing about something much more important even than COVID-19, serious as that is. He writes about something of universal and eternal significance. Here is a message of good news for all people everywhere, including here and now, whatever our circumstances. Good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that's exactly whom Jesus is revealed to be at his baptism. Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus may not save us from COVID, but he can transform the fear of death. He can give us life that no virus could ever destroy. He offers us hope, not just eventually for a better 2021 if we're lucky, but for life and for eternity. He promises not freedom from lockdown restrictions, but freedom from sin. Not an end to social distancing, but an end to the distance between human beings and God. Jesus can bring us not only a restored way of life, but the full and complete life for which we were made, the life of heaven and the new creation. So Mark says his gospel is all good news about Jesus. I wonder if you've ever stopped to think what the Bible is about. That's quite a hard question, really, because it's long and complicated, and there's all sorts of weird and strange stuff in it. Poems and prophecies and history and law and letters and much besides. Some things a bit like philosophy, some guidance for life, but all sorts of weird stuff about, you know, what to do if an ox kills someone, or how to build a temple, or what foods you can and can't eat. Strange visions of trees and dragons and stars and living creatures and rivers. One of my old university professors has just written a big book about the Bible, published by Penguin. It's been serialized on Radio 4. And he talks there about some of the different ways in which Jews and Christians have read the Bible. Maybe you've heard some of it. Those readings can be very different. And not all Christians can agree about what the Bible means. So John Barton, who wrote this book, he says, well, don't worry, it's not necessarily a problem, just enjoy and embrace it. It reflects the Bible as a collection of very different human books written by lots of different authors over a long period of time. Sometimes there are tensions, and Barton would say even contradictions within the Bible, and he's fine with that. He thinks we would be hard-pushed to agree that the Bible has one single coherent message. Now, I'm not the professor of something or other, but I think that is to underestimate the literary artistry of the Bible. Granted that Matthew, Mark, Luke and John all had their different perspectives and make their unique contributions, but there is an amazing unity, I think, to the Bible. That's the staggering thing. Paul wasn't James, and Proverbs is very different from Isaiah or Exodus or Job, but I think the amazing thing is how the Bible all fits together. It seems to me that behind the many human authors of the Bible, there must have been one controlling genius, we might say. And that makes sense if the Holy Spirit inspired those different writers. And for me, the Bible is ultimately God's testimony about Jesus. I think that's the Bible's view of the Bible. I think that's what Jesus' view of the Bible. The Old Testament books look forward to him. The New Testament books look back to him. So there he stands as the goal and centre of the Scriptures. The Bible written that we might come to Jesus in repentance and faith and have life. The point of the Bible that we might hear the voice of Jesus speaking to us by the Holy Spirit in it. In those pages, God the Father bears witness by the Holy Spirit to God the Son. And actually that's what we see at the baptism of Jesus, isn't it? We could almost say that the Bible is the voice of God from heaven, like in our reading today, as God the Father says about Jesus, "This is my Son, whom I love." See the Trinity there in that passage? God the Father speaks about God the Son, and the Spirit comes down on him in the form of a dove. And later at the Transfiguration, God the Father will say these same words about Jesus, "This is my Son, whom I love," and will add the important instruction, "Listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus." As we read the Bible, God would have us focus on Jesus and listen to his voice afresh in these ancient pages. I think we can see that the Bible is all about Jesus if we think about this baptism of Christ from our readings today. There's so many patterns and pictures from the Bible that converge on Jesus. So it's worth noting that the Bible isn't, first of all, and simply about you and me. It's not obvious, really, that our Bible passages today are about us at all, is it? I suppose Genesis tells us that God made everything, so God must have made us. Obviously, that's very important. If we thought about the implications of that, that would be many sermons, wouldn't it? But it's not obviously about us. God, in his wisdom, didn't write the Bible as easy, simple, clear messages for you and me. But we've already said that Mark tells us that his gospel is good news. How? Why? What sort of good news? For whom? About what? How does this ancient biography of Jesus make a difference to me? John the Baptist tells the crowd that there's one coming after him, whoever he is, and of course we discover it's Jesus, we know that. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit. But what is that all about? It's pretty mysterious, isn't it? Oh, this amazing, powerful one will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Oh, well, thanks, John. I mean, I didn't really know I needed to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, whatever that is. How do we get that baptism? How do we benefit from it? So it'd be a mistake to jump too quickly to ourselves. We're not ancient Israelites. We're not Jesus. We're not John the Baptist. We weren't there in that crowd. And yet the Bible is somehow for us. Let's not jump to ourselves too quickly. But of course we've got to get to ourselves, haven't we? You know, it would be pointless if the Bible was just a load of boring old history about some other guys. No, it's for us. It's meant to transform us and renew us and equip us. So how do we get from the Bible to ourselves? Well, I think the key thing is by focusing on Jesus and our relationship to him. Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The good news is all about him, and he is the good news that you and I need today. He is life transforming. And our passage gives us a rich portrait of him. There are all sorts of quotations and allusions and hints to other parts of the Bible here in this passage. Far too many, really, for us to go into all of them today. Let's think about this baptism in two ways. First, Mark wants us to see the baptism of Jesus as something which he did for us. He did it as our substitute, in our place, instead of us. After all, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, whom he loved, with whom God was well pleased. So what on earth is Jesus doing getting baptized? He's got no sins of his own. He's got nothing of which he needs to repent. He's the one who's going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and make us clean and give us new hearts. He should be the baptizer, not the baptized. Jesus didn't need a wash. And yet he stood in the place of sinners. He did it for you and me. The Bible says that the cross would be the baptism which Jesus had to undergo. There he would be numbered with the transgressors. The sinless one undergoes this sinner's baptism for you and for me. That was the plan of God. That was the only way we could be saved. That was necessary for our cleansing. Jesus will face the watery death of baptism and rise again so that we might not be sunk by our sin. He'll be plunged under the waters of God's wrath and drowned by them so that we might live in friendship with God. Judgment will flood over him and he'll come out the other side so that those waters might not touch us. Our sins are washed away by Jesus. He is, if you like, another Noah. There is the dove, there and the waters. Noah saved from that watery death. And we, like Noah's family, are saved by Jesus, the ark, if we're in him. Jesus' baptism was something he did for us in our place as our substitute. But secondly, he also acts as our representative. If we're believers, we're in Christ, united to him by faith, joined to him by the Spirit. So his baptism was our baptism. We were baptized in and with Jesus. What's true of him is true of us. He's the head, we're the body, and we sort of take those together, don't we? You know, my body comes with my head. And so it is with us and Jesus. We are joined to him. His death and resurrection were our death and resurrection. Jesus comes up from the waters alive and full of the Spirit, and so do we. If we're Christian believers, we have died with Christ in baptism, and we live to God, filled with the Spirit. And what God the Father says about Jesus, he says about us. So much more we could say about Jesus. His name means Joshua. And he's like a second and better Joshua. Remember, Joshua was the one who had to duff up all the people in the land and bring God's people safety and security and so on. Had to cross the Jordan. Interesting, that's the context of Jesus' baptism. Jesus is the one who will defeat our enemies and give us victory and bring us security and rest and blessing and peace. The baptism is like a kind of second exodus through the waters of the Red Sea. Like a new exile and return as Jesus goes out and comes back. He's the new Israel. His name, Joshua, means the Lord saves. And Jesus saves us from our sins. He's the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the promised rescuer King. Priests in the Old Testament, they used to have a symbolic wash at the age of 30 before they began their ministries. And it's striking that Jesus, at his baptism, 30 years old, begins this new ministry by this ceremonial wash. Jesus, our great high priest, the way to heaven, the perfect sacrifice for sin, the Son of God, the new Adam, mentions the animals with him there in verse 13, a reminder of Adam. A reminder of Genesis. Did you get those things that Jono spotted, the three similarities between the readings? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void. And the Spirit of God moved over the waters, and God said. It's the same as the baptism, isn't it? The water, the Spirit of God, and God speaks. The Trinity, both in creation and here at the baptism of Jesus. Jesus is bringing about a new creation, a fresh start for humanity. And immediately after the baptism, the Spirit drives him out into the desert to be tested by Satan. Jesus will be obedient in the desert, whereas Adam was disobedient in the garden. Adam listened to the serpent. Jesus won't listen to the devil. So Jesus, the Son of God, is the new Israel, God's new man, God's faithful one. And just as Israel was unfaithful for 40 years in the desert, Jesus will be faithful for 40 days in the desert. Like Isaac, the son of Abraham, Jesus is, quote, God's son whom he loves, the one he's willing to give up as the sacrifice for sin. Jesus is the servant of the Lord, quote, with whom he is well pleased. He will bring salvation and blessing to Israel and to the nations. And so we could go on. Lots of Elisha stuff going on here too. But that is more than enough for now, isn't it? The Bible builds up these layers of meaning so that we can see the significance of Jesus as the King and Saviour we need. All God's plans and purposes find their centre in Jesus. All God's promises are yes in him. Jesus matters to us because of what he did as our substitute in our place for us. But also he matters as our representative because we're joined to him. What happened to him happened to us. If we're the people of God, we are dearly loved by God and equipped by his Spirit. It seems likely that we face even more difficult days with the COVID-19 pandemic before us. Maybe more than 40 days of trial and isolation. Many of us in our homes, not in the desert. But it might be a rather lonely experience for some of us. How was it that Jesus alone faced that time of testing in the wilderness? Perhaps he was encouraged by those words spoken to him at his baptism. You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And as we trust in Jesus, it might do us good to hear afresh the Father say to us, you are my child, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Just listen again to those words of God to you in Jesus and let them sink in. You are my child, whom I love. With you I am well pleased, despite your sin and the fact that you mess up all the time. If we're trusting in Jesus, he has dealt with our sin. He's made us clean. He's given us new hearts. We can look to the Holy Spirit to equip us for the challenging situations into which he sends us. May God give us victory over temptation, and may his angels attend us. Amen. So in the light of God's word now, we're going to turn from our sin and commit ourselves afresh to him. God of truth, you are faithful to the covenant you have made with us. Look in mercy on your people. From all our sins, O Lord, wash us and we shall be clean. We have broken the pledges of our baptism and failed to be your disciples. From all our sins, O Lord, wash us and we shall be clean. Though we are saved by Christ and dead to sin through the deep waters of death, we have not witnessed to his grace by our manner of life. From all our sins, O Lord, wash us and we shall be clean. We have shown indifference to those in need and have been afraid to stand up for justice and truth. From all our sins, O Lord, wash us and we shall be clean. We have been slow to forgive and have failed to remember your repeated forgiveness of our sins. From all our sins, O Lord, wash us and we shall be clean. Today we rejoice and give thanks because your Son humbled himself to be baptized in the Jordan. Through the waters you have given us the mystery of baptism for the remission of sins. From all our sins, O Lord, wash us and we shall be clean. Through water and Spirit, you give us new life as the people of God, and pour out upon us the gifts of your new covenant. From all our sins, O Lord, wash us and we shall be clean. Almighty God, in our baptism you have consecrated us to be temples of your Holy Spirit. May we, whom you have counted worthy, nurture your indwelling spirit with a lively faith and worship you with upright lives through Jesus Christ. Amen. Come, say the Spirit and the Bride. Come, you who are thirsty, receive the water of life, the free gift to all who desire it. May Almighty God have mercy upon you, forgive you your sins, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so we pledge allegiance afresh to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In the words of the Nicene Creed, which you'll see on the screen, please would you stand. So together we say, we believe in one God, the Father the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. Eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.